Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe or download button, especially on that iOS podcast app. You know what? Why don't you pause right now and go leave a review for us on the podcast, on the iOS podcast
app. They can still listen to us.
Well, there's about 3 or 4 more minutes of plugs.
Yeah. While we're doing that,
yeah,
leave a review. Multitask.
Exactly. Give us a many star review.
Yeah,
over on the podcasting, and be sure to hit that on YouTube. Hit that little bell notify thing so that you're always aware when there's new Going In Raw content. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have 58 people watching right now, hearing us chat before the show. We have a pre-show and then a post-show 3 times a week. All live for $5 and up patrons. That's $5 a month. You'll be supporting the show, and you get plenty of great rewards for that. That's the best value reward tier, Larson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're also available at the Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Just submitted a new design this morning, Larson. It's a stretch.
Did you add
shirt?
The...
I did. I did it first to see how it looked. It looked kind of wonky, so I took
them
out.
Yeah, I was worried about that, too.
Yeah, but it was a good collaborative effort there.
Yeah.
On our parts.
Also, there might be another shirt coming soon.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple up in Photoshop that I'm going to start.
All I need is a picture of me.
Yeah.
And then Cold Water Larson shirt will be ready.
All right, man. As soon as I read these pledges while you're talking about something, I will send you pictures of yourself.
Well, I can't be talking. I have to have a very specific face.
No. I have pictures
send.
Of you.
Okay, gotcha.
I will send them to you while you're talking, which means I won't be paying attention to you. I'm going to list off the latest patrons for the week because it's very important to acknowledge people who have supported the podcast via money. Starting out with Going In Roth 69, AJ, Mr. Valerian, Robert Cullen, Matthew Raspberry, Jordan McGinnis, Rosalind St. Clair, Mano Bagjalgian. Sorry, I just totally messed up your name. Cooper Tennant, Sick Rhymes, Fez Logic, That Guy X1, Eric Edwards, Jay Perez, Big Chris Smith, Michael Ventresca, Alan Langston, The Odyssey Ramirez, The Gut Grinder, Abigail C. Edwards, Michael Davidson, Soren Stapleton, and JC Flash. Those are some names right
there,
man.
Good names.
Very interesting names. Let's see here. So, yeah, that's what we got going on now. So, we're not here to talk about all that, though, Larson. What are we here to talk about?
Raw.
That's right. We're here to talk about Raw. I got my notes up. In a nutshell, Larson, what did you think about Raw last
night? Decent enough show.
Yeah.
Some good matches. The Sasha Bailey match was good. Main event, good. Finn Balor, Elias Sampson, good.
It was one of those things that I think I sort of expected Raw. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, man, if you never know if Raw is going to be good or a slog, you just sort of go in thinking
the
worst. I
always expect it to be a slog, and when it's not, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think I went in thinking that it was going to be a slog, and then like halfway through I realized, hey, it's been pretty good so far. Like, it wasn't like out of my seat great.
No.
But it was a decent show.
It was really heavy on interviews.
They're doing some things that they should be doing. They are doing some things that they shouldn't be doing, but might be entertaining. For example, Jason Jordan. That interview was, man. You wanna get the crowd against you? Just do that. Talk about your feelings for 5 minutes. That was bad. The crowd started booing him. And in fact, we got a couple reports or I saw on my Twitter timeline, people were booing that. Because he just kept on going.
Yeah.
It was like, it probably should have been a minute. And it was, I swear, it was like 3. It was so long. It was ridiculous. I don't know.
You know, it's funny. I was concentrating more on on the quality of his performance, not exactly his lines. For whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I don't really remember what he says, but I remember how he said them.
It was just over and over talking about his feelings.
Yeah.
And, wow, this is great. It's such an opportunity. Nobody wants happy people, man. They want conflicted people.
Yeah.
They're going to boo if you're happy. Why? They need to learn a lesson. 1996, The Rock, when he debuted, Rocky Maivia. He was happy as can be. People hated him.
No one liked
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Look at Apollo Crews. Comes out happy, nothing. Now he's with Titus Brand. He's got motivation. He's got reason. Sometimes he's happy. Sometimes he's sad. Sometimes he's angry. Sometimes he's glad. You know what I mean?
And sometimes he's all those things at the same time.
Exactly.
That's complexity.
Complexity.
That's good.
It's not just, wow, I'm so happy. Another thing that kind of bugs me about the Kurt Angle thing is that Kurt Angle talks a lot about, I just want to be his father now. Well, he has a father. Even if in storyline it's his adoptive father seems to be doing a pretty damn good job. So I don't really, I mean, it's weird.
We'll see where it goes. Maybe this is all the...
I was really hoping Jason Jordan would lose last night.
Oh, yeah.
But then I saw it was Kurt Hawkins that he was facing. That's not going to happen.
You know what I was kind of hoping?
What?
Jason Jordan would do the Angle Slam.
Oh, me too. I want him to start taking on some of those characteristics.
Characteristics.
Man, what am I doing? He's always done the expose your boobies thing, which is, you know, advantageous.
Yes.
Kind of fortuitous, because I don't think Chad Gable does that.
I don't think so either.
So it's kind of a Kurt Angle thing.
But Jason Jordan should, Angle Slam.
I was going to do something on my phone, and I forgot what I was going to do. I know I was going to send you the pictures. I'll do that later.
Yeah, do it later.
I don't know what I'm looking at my phone here for, though.
I don't know either.
No, man.
Anyways, show opened. Raw opened with Kurt Angle
mm-hmm.
coming out, delivering a promo. He's going to come out and say, first, his son, Jason Jordan, mm-hmm. will be making his Raw debut tonight.
There's a booger on my computer.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Second, he was going to announce Brock Lesnar's opponent for SummerSlam. And right as he was about to say who it was, Braun Strowman comes out.
Kudos to the AV people because, you know, sometimes they cue that music
a little bit late. I know.
A little late.
That was right on point.
This was because what would he have said if the music didn't? This really gave me some anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
What would he have said had the music not?
You know what he should have done?
That's placing a lot. Talk about a trust exercise.
Is a heavy sigh. He'd really thought about it.
Do you think? This is so stupid to even talk about. Do you think he had a contingency plan? A heavy sigh, some stuttering, maybe a left turn in his, you know, he tangents in his thoughts. Did he have something in mind in case the music didn't hit?
Well, you know, if the music didn't hit right on cue, it would have been a matter of like 3 seconds late.
Yeah, I know. But dude, 3 seconds is a long time.
I know, but you're not going to take a tangent in 3 seconds is my point. You could do a heavy sigh.
He can start. My point is he can start a tangent. He says, I've decided. It was very decisive, and it was in the flow of a thing. So,
I have decided that
Brock Lesnar's opponent is going to be, and like, dude, right on the B.
Yeah.
Right when the word was going to start. So, I don't know. I'm just thinking.
They probably practice.
If I go out there, I've got a contingency plan.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Do you?
No.
No.
I'll trust my instincts.
You're going to rely on the yokel and AV? You're crazy. Oh, man, you're a fail. So Braun comes out and he says, I beat Roman Reigns. I eat people alive, basically. I want Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Out comes Samoa Joe and says he's the only one that stood up to Brock Lesnar.
And lost after 1-5. That, you know, people can. That's the thing that bugs the crap out of me, is that Samoa Joe could have come out and said, it took 4 F5s to keep me down.
I know, that's...
Instead, you always go back to your memory of him is, he took you down with 1 F5.
I know.
You know?
I know. That's the bummer about the finish of that match. Mm-hmm. Later on, he also said, I was the only person that went 1-on-1 with Brock Lesnar, which isn't true. Roman Reigns went 1-on-1 with Brock Lesnar.
I feel like 31. A lot of people have gone 1-on-1 with
Well, a lot of people have. He meant in that ring.
In what ring?
In the ring last night during the segment. He said, I'm the only one here that's gone 1-on-1 with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, here. I got you. Yeah. Okay. Right.
So Joe comes out, states his claim mm-hmm. to have a title shot at SummerSlam. Out comes Roman Reigns.
Man, the pop he gets these days, I'm not sure how to describe it. If the point of Roman Reigns is that he elicits a response, they've got that dead on. Because he does, for better or worse. Because I couldn't even, I was looking and I was like, That feels like a pop.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that look like they had their arms up.
Feels like a pop.
Like they were happy to see him.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little weird.
Did you notice that too? Yeah. A lot of people in like...
There were a lot of hands up.
Yeah, a lot of celebratory poses. So they're happy to see Roman Reigns.
I think people are happy to see Roman Reigns.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're happy to see Roman Reigns in the same ring as Braun Strowman because Braun Strowman usually beats up Roman Reigns.
Well, that could be. I think it's just been a hot feud. It's been a good feud.
Yeah, it has been.
You know?
It's done a lot of good for everybody involved.
I mean, because it's not like it was a surprise he was coming out.
No.
You know?
So they were all talking, and then Kurt Angle changes his mind. He says, I've changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said there's going to be a four-way
yeah.
match for the Universal title at SummerSlam. It's going to be Brock, Braun, Joe, and Roman.
That's great.
I can't wait. That's actually going to be a fantastic match.
This will
be great.
Is what we wanted.
This will be fantastic.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
This is going to be a lot of
fun. This is going to be really the least of the matches announced. There's two matches I really want to see at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
This and AJ, Kevin Owens. Those are the two matches I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm still like...
They can't screw up another match.
You would think.
If it's going to be their blow-off, they got to do it right.
Dude, are they overthinking things, or was that indeed a botch?
According
to Wade Keller, he said it was a botch.
Everything else I've read says it wasn't.
Wade Keller said he has sources that say backstage it was a mess. It was like panic backstage. Until I heard that, I was thinking it was not a botch.
Yeah, because I think on... Cage side seats or somewhere, they said it wasn't because they had the music queued up, hit right when Owens won.
Well, now they've got this dude back there who can cue that music perfectly.
But maybe he only works the Raw shows.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they do that. So I don't know. I mean, it's a great mystery. I have no idea what to believe. I really don't. Because like you said, up until this morning, I was thinking about it. I was like reading a bunch of stuff. Yeah, that wasn't a botch. Totally wasn't a botch. They just changed their minds like during the show. Apparently that's what Meltzer said anyways. And then Wade Keller said, yeah, it was a mess, panic backstage. Yeah. I don't know. Ah, people are losing their shit, man.
I don't know.
Anyways.
So they all brawl. Yeah. The locker room comes out.
That was a great line, though. When
Strowman
said, "I just like to stack bodies," which is a fantastic line. And Roman said, "Man, shut up!"
And then punched him. A brawl breaks out. Security comes out. Braun Strowman throws a couple of them out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That one guy over the top rope took a nasty bump onto the mat.
Oh God, I know.
So the locker room empties out. Tries to break everybody.
That was a Beretta-esque. He just
he just launched him over the top rope. That'd have been a DQ in WCW for sure.
At least in the Watts era.
Yeah. You know, quick tangent.
I
was watching Halloween Havoc this morning.
Yes.
And that's pre-Bill Watts.
Yeah.
And they said anytime anybody went to top rope, it was the ref's discretion whether to disqualify the person or not. So the DQ predates Bill Watts.
Oh, my gosh. But at referee's discretion?
Yeah.
What do you think of the referee?
It's like a precursor to the GoPro.
I know, right?
It's pretty
it was
neat.
Great. And Nick Patrick looked amazing with that
with
giant helmet.
The hockey helmet on?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, the locker room comes out, tries to break everything up. Didn't really go as planned.
Nope.
Good segment. Anytime there's a brawl and it necessitates the entire locker room coming out to break things
fantastic.
Up, it's always good.
People have to break character because they're like,
it's
oh,
heels
man.
And faces
yeah, galore.
Working together to break up a fight. It's great.
Exactly. Next up, we got Elias Sampson. Who sang it? I'm telling you, man, I think this guy knows what he's doing on guitar. By the way, I do have to commend whoever's idea it was for Booker and Michael Cole to be totally on board the singing aspect of Elias Sampson just to troll the crap out of Corey Graves,
yeah.
who is remaining in character from his NXT days.
Yes.
That is a stroke of genius, and it just adds an extra little tiny layer of entertainment.
Yes.
And I love it. It's great.
Yeah, it's good. So, Drifter singing. Finn Balor interrupts the song.
Well, he runs down. He says something about Finn Balor that he's like garbage or something. He says, just like the people in this town. God damn it. I love him. He's great. Finn Balor once again interrupts Elias Sampson. They've got a no DQ match tonight, right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
And this match went on for a while. I had to like rewind it or I had to watch it over because I'd turn it on and I was like, oh, time for me to go pick up Alabama from school. So I went and got her. Came home, turned on like she likes Labyrinth again these days. So I turned on that for her. Went back out of the living room and was like, "Holy crap! This match has been going on for a little."
Yeah, it was a long match. They gave him a lot of time.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. A lot of good back and forth.
Yeah,
chair got involved.
Hey, guess how old Elias Sampson is?
32.
29.
Hmm.
He looks 42. Anyways, continue.
Anyways, Finn does his drop kick, sending Elias into the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up on the top rope, ready to do a coup de grace.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt teleports into the ring. And has Finn Balor and Sister Abigail position.
Yeah.
Gives him the Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
The Drifter crawls, gets the pin on Finn Balor,
mm-hmm.
picks up the win.
Yeah.
And Bray Wyatt is in the corner doing his...
Man, look at me, man. I'm swept upside down, man.
Upside down Wyatt thing, just watching the whole pinfall.
I'm like a spider, but with less legs than the human upside down. Did you see his little tweet about the Young Bucks?
Yeah.
He said, the Young Bucks are good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
He posted a picture on Twitter about the Wyatt family, too.
Really?
Yeah, a picture of all of them.
When was that? Just today?
A couple days ago.
Oh, really?
Yesterday, maybe.
Nice. That's rad. Bring them back. Anyways, yeah, so he just sort of hovers near Finn.
Yeah.
So
trying to creep him out a little bit.
We need, yeah, dude, next week we need to begin whatever the story is. We need to know, why is he terrorizing Finn? I want details from
Bray
Wyatt. Motivation. I want a PowerPoint presentation of the specific reason why Bray Wyatt is bugging Finn Balor. Otherwise, I will give a shit not about their SummerSlam match.
Okay. Demon Balor has to be involved in some capacity.
I agree completely. You're just a man, but you're not a god, man. It's your demon, man.
He says, I'm not a man, I'm a demon.
Oh, man. Anyways, and then he burns down his house. He should burn his jacket.
Ooh.
That's over the line, huh? That's worse than a man's house? Oh, he didn't burn down a house. That was Randy Orton. Other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyways.
Anyways, next, Kurt Angle was given an interview backstage.
Yes.
In walks Emma.
Yes.
She wants opportunities on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Angle says, you want an opportunity? You get Nia Jax tonight.
Well, Emma threatens to like bang his son, right? She says, maybe I'll date Jason Jordan. And he's like, crikey. You're not going to do that. Going to take on Nia Jax. She says, all right, crikey. And so, yeah, that led to Emma versus Nia Jax later in the night.
Yeah.
Then we had Enzo and Big Show backstage. Ooh, this is a sleeper angle of the month
right here.
And when I say sleeper, I mean it puts me to sleep, not this is the sleeper good thing.
Yeah, no, it's not very good so far.
Yeah.
Because we all know where it's going.
Yeah.
It's
going
to be Cass and Will. That's SummerSlam.
You know what, though? Here's the thing.
Probably on the pre-show.
I really love that Big Show Braun match from a little while ago on Raw.
Yeah.
And I really like, you know, that was a good episode and they really hyped up that match.
Yeah.
You know, they did the tail of the tape thing and everything. Cass versus Big Show at SummerSlam. When Big Show is motivated, Big Show wants to still be wrestling.
Yeah.
When he's motivated, and especially when he's motivated to put who he might view as a possible sort of heir apparent over. Could be a decent match.
It could be.
Could be okay.
One thing with Cass so far is he's really inconsistent with his mean streak.
Oh, yeah.
Like the match last night.
Yeah.
Towards the tail end, he was getting mean.
Yeah.
On Enzo. And a little bit with Big Show.
Yeah.
But the first half of the match, it was like he was trying. It looked obvious that he was trying not to hurt Enzo.
This was not a good idea.
No.
This was not a good idea. I'm sorry, but this is not a good idea. Breaking up that tag team, and then now the club is kind of acting face-ish last night.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I get that, you know, we've seen Enzo and Cass versus the club before, but I don't know, man. This wasn't a good idea, and this feud is proving it. Like, why do we have Enzo versus Cass again, really? Like, hasn't Enzo proved, like, what in his previous encounters with Cass? Okay, it's like playing a video game. It's like, God damn, all I got to do is launch over that cliff, and I'm almost there. I can almost figure it out. What in Enzo versus Cass so far has Enzo seen as, oh, yeah, no, I almost got him.
Well, he referenced that in his backstage segment with Big Show.
What did he say?
Big Show advised him, don't do it again. And Enzo more or less said, you know, I have a good reason to do it. Nope, I don't have any reason. And then walks off.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But it's a completely illogical step. On his part, and Enzo acknowledges that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he's like, hey, I'm just going in there head first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Enzo does a promo.
Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. That makes sense, though, man. Why would you go out, like, knowing? Like, does he think maybe, hey, maybe he's like, hey, if he just keeps on kicking my ass, he'll eventually start to feel a bit guilty and I'll get my friend back?
I have no idea.
Like, at a certain point?
That's never been articulated.
Cass seems to just love doing this. But like you said, though, you know, beginning of this match, Cass just doesn't exactly know
how to be mean yet.
Yeah.
Although that boot to win the match was vicious.
Oh, I know.
It's mostly because it was a really good sell from Enzo.
Yeah, no, I know. But you're right. I mean, he just doesn't. Cass is one of those, you know, we've said, here's the funny thing, dude. Like, we've said over and over again, when you're just a happy baby face and you got nothing else going for you, right? Like Jason Jordan, who hopefully will turn him heel. When you're a happy baby face, turning heel is like the best thing for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it lets you. Cass, I never got the happy baby face thing from Cass. He just always seemed very amused by his friend.
Well,
and he was amused, a giant who could just murder everybody.
Amused and occasionally annoyed.
Yeah, exactly. But it was always kind of funny annoyed, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
Half the time it seemed like he was legit. His reactions to Enzo's promos usually seem pretty legit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
He was just himself. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And heel Cass, it's obvious that it's not even close to who he is.
Yeah.
Like, he legitimately, like, watching him on, like, Breaking Ground, he just legitimately seems like a sweet guy, mm-hmm. you know? So, I don't know.
It wasn't towards the end of this match with Enzo that he started showing a mean streak. He had Enzo in the corner, was
mm-hmm.
beating him down a bit.
Yeah.
Won the match with the boot to the face. Looked good.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Somebody in chat just said, can we please get a segment? Dommy Ray says, can we please get a segment where Kurt gives Jason the talk about sex?
So then, comes down. Cass threatens to break Enzo's neck.
God.
And then he throws Enzo into Big Show,
mm-hmm.
attacks Big Show,
mm-hmm.
And then stands tall to end the segment.
Yeah. You know they should do for SummerSlam? They should do one of those handicap matches where the faces get the handicap, get the advantage.
Oh, yeah,
rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Those make no sense. This
no.
feud makes no sense.
No.
Let's see here. Next up, we had an Alexa Bliss interview.
She was talking about how through her scheming, she's mm-hmm. going to break up the friendship of Bayley and Sasha Banks.
I mean, if that just means having them fight for number one contendership, that's not really a lot of scheming.
No.
You know. But that match was good, man.
Yeah, it was really good.
There was some slapping going on. There's some good shit in that match.
Yeah, there's some decent storytelling going on.
But next up, we had Emma versus Nia Jax. Mainly just a squash match.
Yeah.
Nia Jax won this pretty quickly, if I recall.
Yeah, and she did a new move.
I like this. Somersault senton.
Fantastic.
Yeah, this was cool, man. I like this.
Awesome.
And the commentary sold it perfectly,
too.
Yeah. They're like, whoa, what was that? That was cool.
I like that Nia Jax has gone through four or five different finishers.
I know, me too. I know. It's good.
Okay. And then now if she establishes each of them,
mm-hmm.
she could literally win a match five different ways.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It makes things unpredictable.
Yeah.
After that, Akira Tozawa was giving an interview
mm-hmm.
Talking about his match last night that he was going to have against Arya Daivari.
Yeah.
Titus O'Neil comes
in. Oh, I like this whole thing here.
Yeah.
I like this whole thing. This was good.
Says, I had the match canceled because I don't want your shoulder to get injured further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tozawa was upset.
Mm-hmm.
And he storms off, goes through the curtain, down the ramp. Titus is following him.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bit of a altercation in the ring where Tozawa pushes Titus.
Yeah.
And then Tozawa cuts a promo. Neville comes out.
Oh, I loved it. It was great.
Cuts a promo.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff all around. They brawl. Tozawa gets the upper hand, hits the top rope senton. Out comes Daivari.
Yeah.
And attacks both of them.
Yeah.
Gives them both the hammerlock lariat.
Yeah. So, I thought it was rad, man. I like that it was Daivari attacking everybody
I know.
Not just Daivari and Neville teaming up because they're bad.
I know.
I thought it made Daivari look really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I was really happy about this. So I think on 205 Live, we're getting Daivari versus Neville.
Oh, cool.
I think that's what I saw.
That'll be good.
I could be wrong.
That, and then there's the tag match with TJP and partner versus Rich Swann and partner.
Yeah, that should be good.
So that'll be good, too.
Yeah.
Good stuff on 205 Live, hopefully.
All right, so next up after that, we had Bayley versus Sasha Banks. Of course, these two have had legendary matches, legendary takeover matches, Larson.
Yes.
There was some cool stuff here.
Yeah.
I like this match. It was a good match. Like, whenever you get Bayley versus Sasha Banks, I have no idea if they're going to... So, Bayley went over here.
Yeah.
Right. And it was a cool sequence too, because Sasha went for the Eddie Guerrero frog splash.
Yeah.
And
hit it. For the pin. And I guess she was putting too much torque on her cover that allowed Bayley to reverse it into a pin of her own and got the win.
But there was some cool stuff here. So, like, you know, throughout there was, like, I think a YouTube video or some crap like that where Sasha was walking in before Raw and she was talking about, you know, being able to dominate Bayley. Earlier there was, like, a backstage thing. Oh, we didn't mention that, did we?
We just got to that. We didn't get to the match. The match hasn't happened yet. We're at the
backstage. Oh, that's backstage. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were talking backstage.
I don't look at your entire notes.
I know.
See, Bayley, Sasha Banks, they fought. They're backstage. They're saying they're going to beat each other. Next up, we had Dean and Seth Rollins backstage. And
Dean saying he still doesn't trust Seth Rollins.
I don't trust you, Seth Rollins. Next up, we had Bayley versus Sasha Banks.
You know what I liked about the beginning of this match, especially on Bayley's part, is she was trying to win with roll-ups. Pinning combinations.
Yeah.
She wasn't really doing moves.
Well, it was kind of cool. You're right. There was sort of an evolution of the match where about 75% of the way into it, it got personal. Like they started getting pissed off at each other. They started open
once
hand
they got
slapping each other.
Really physical.
Yeah, exactly. And that was cool. It was like, oh, it's going to be like this now, is it?
Yeah,
you know?
But the first part of it was literally they were just trying to find a convenient way to pin their opponent for a quick
right.
win.
They don't want to hurt their friend.
Exactly.
And I like that. Like, I like that as opposed to Bayley doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because by the end of this match, she was being physical.
Right. He said, like, let's see if we can get through this and still maintain our friendship. But at the end of the day, they both want the title more.
Competitive people.
Yeah, I like that. So let's talk about Alexa Bliss versus Bayley at SummerSlam.
Well, I guess if they want to finish the story they started telling earlier in the year where Bayley didn't have a mean streak, and commentary talked about this last night, and they said this looks like a different Bayley.
Yeah.
So I assume if Bayley is going to win, that's the direction they're going to head in.
She did like a post, like a Raw Fallout video on their YouTube also, where she very specifically said there's going to be no kendo sticks. That stuff is not allowed. And so I really hope that one of the goals here is, and look, I think that ever since her sort of fall off, ever since the kendo stick match and her kind of fall off, a lot of people, you know, we heard insider reports or whatever that they were going to bury Bayley. And look, she's in the title match of SummerSlam. I think there's a good chance of her winning this thing.
Yep.
And I think that they're on a good road here.
Yeah.
Now I say that, and I'm probably jinxing the situation because I could totally see them with Alexa Bliss's character the way it is, and now that she's going to be on Total Divas, that's been announced, them playing up some shitty soap opera angle as opposed to simply focusing on the wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, Bayley's deal should be her trying to evade Alexa Bliss's sort of mind games, but not dipping into the well of, oh, Bayley, you're just a child whose dad you said. I don't want any of that shit. And I'm hoping the fact that they acknowledged a week after that, Bayley, this is your life segment.
How awful it was.
How bad it was. Maybe they understand. We should stay away from this and stick to the wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope so.
Like, if they make this all about Bayley sort of establishing, hey, I'm a much better wrestler than you are.
I don't recall Bliss on commentary last night saying anything like that. Referencing, you know, Bayley's kind of childlike nature.
In her interview, it's Alexa Bliss. She's going to be condescending regardless.
Yes.
But there was nothing overt about that.
Yeah, neither in the interview or Alexa on commentary.
Right, exactly.
They didn't go to that part of the previous story at all.
Yeah, so hopefully they just stick with that. I mean, if it's kind of reflective a little bit of what's going on over on SmackDown. You have one veteran and one person they're trying to establish.
Yeah.
And then over here you've got Bayley, who knows what she's doing in the ring, and Alexa Bliss, who still is a little ways off from that. I think that we're going to have on SmackDown, the face is going to win, and I think on Raw, the face is going to win as well. Challenger and champion.
Mm-hmm.
So
next, Curt Hawkins interview.
We didn't know who was going to be facing Jason Jordan until Curt Hawkins' interview of his.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, how are they going to do this Jason Jordan thing? Either he's going to put together some wins to kick things off, or they're immediately going to go south, and it's like, uh-oh, where do we go from here? That starts off some drama.
Yeah.
As soon as Curt Hawkins showed up,
you knew exactly who was going to win that match.
Oh, this is going to be an easy win for young Jason Angle. So, yeah, anyways, Kurt Hawkins, who cares what he said? Next up, we had the actual match, and Jason Jordan won with a pop-up neck breaker.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of any neck breaker.
Yeah, you like your neck breakers.
I like, honestly, I just like when, look, Jason Jordan's really good in the ring.
Yeah, he is.
I like when he just starts throwing people around.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I love those, like, those wrestling dudes who come from wrestling and they can throw people around.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Because he can throw people far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that overhead belly-to-belly. Wow.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes overhead belly-to-bellies look like they can be very dangerous.
Yeah.
But with him, he just tosses them.
Oh, I know.
Plenty of time to get your neck tucked
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. And to do the full flip.
Exactly. Next up, we had...
The Revival were going to be interviewed by Charlie.
Dude, I freaking love when these guys are being interviewed.
Oh, I know.
They're so good.
Scott Dawson says, you know, Charlie, you're good at your job, but we got it from here.
Exactly, yeah.
So they start talking. Out come the club.
Mm-hmm.
And call them nerds. Top nerds.
Called them nerds, but here's the thing. Called them top. I missed that. That's funny. Top nerds. They're, you know, using the phrase good brother. And they said, Washington, D.C. is a good brother town. Whoa, hold on. That's a face thing.
Yep.
When you are inclusive of the town you're in and not derisive of the town you're in, that is firmly in the face playbook, Larson. Do we see, is this a face club or do the face exist above face heel dynamic?
Well, I feel like they should exist above face heel dynamic. They should just be the club.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a face promo.
It's hard not to, these guys can't get healed. People like the club.
I know.
They want to be a part of the club.
Yeah.
It's a club. Everybody wants to be in a club, right?
Yeah.
Right now, if you could choose one club to be a part of, what club would you be in?
Of any club?
Any club in the world, what club would you be in?
Wow, I'd have to think about that.
Yeah, it's a big decision to make.
L.I.J.
Really? Do you speak the native language of L.I.J. de Japón? No. I don't see. It would be too weird. I feel like, what do they do when they hang out anyways? What do you think they do when they hang out?
They probably just hang out.
Well, I know the Ticking Time Bomb goes to like Disneyland. Well, when he was here, he went to Disneyland with Daryl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what club would I want to be in? Like what is that one club called? What is it, Skull and Bones?
Oh, at Yale?
Yeah, at Yale.
Yeah.
Get to meet a lot of very like powerful people.
You want
to
do that?
Maybe influence world policy.
You want to do that?
That'd be fun, right? Or Bullet Club. Either one. They're both the same. Anyways, we had a match, Revival versus the club, man.
Yeah.
Decent
back and forth. Revival are setting up to hit a Shatter Machine on Carl Anderson. And then the Hardys come out.
Uh-huh.
Try to distract the Revival. Instead, they distract the club.
Mm-hmm.
So the Revival does end up hitting... I can't talk. Sorry. The Revival does hit Shatter Machine on Carl Anderson. Picks up the win. Afterwards, Revival and the Hardys brawl.
Yeah.
So is this going to be some sort of Four Corners tag team match for the titles?
Who would be the fourth corner?
The champions. Cesaro, Sheamus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hardys.
Oh, because it showed them in the...
Revival and the club.
Okay, look, here's my thing.
Mm.
I'm all for that, I think. I think I'm all for that because it's the Revival's in there and Cesaro and Sheamus are in there and I like Cesaro.
And the club's in it?
I think I'm all for that.
Okay.
But then you also have a fatal four-way for the Universal title.
I know.
Oh, but then you might have New Day versus Uso, so that sort of balances out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
And you have a singles match for the WWE title.
I'm good with all that.
A singles match for the U.S. title. Maybe a triple threat for the Intercontinental title.
I will say this. If the Revival bring to the table what we know they can bring to the table, adding to any multiple tag team tag match their distinctive brand of creativity, then I am all for this.
Oh, of course.
You know, because I think they're kind of an X factor in that regard. I think that they can come up with some really cool shit. I think the Hardys have proven with their feud with the Young Bucks, for example, prior to their latest stint in WWE, that they can bring some creativity to any match.
We know Cesaro especially. Sheamus and Cesaro can do some creative stuff.
I want to see some cool
shit. We keep hearing that Carl Anderson is one of the best wrestlers in the world.
You know, it's great. So Shinsuke Instagrammed a picture of, okay, it was probably like 2009, I want to say. I don't know, something. A baby-looking Shinsuke, a baby-looking Finn Balor, because it's his birthday, and Carl Anderson, all in a picture together from probably 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And Carl Anderson looks the exact same. The other two look like babies, but he looks the exact same. Anyways, so next up we had The Miz and his Miztourage backstage, and they were just sort of hyping each other up. Everybody's getting hyped up for their big match against the Shield.
Yes, which was Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, two-thirds of the Shield, reuniting for the first time in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Made a major point of mentioning that many times against The Miz, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun enough match.
No, this was a fun match. I think it was notable most for its the amount of chemistry that Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose
still have.
It's easy to forget just how good they were as a tag team, and to see them in there with each other, the chemistry is unbelievable.
Yep.
It really is. Yep. Like the suicide dives in tandem.
Yeah, in unison, yeah.
All just like the quick, you know, the quick tags, the quick like playing off each other. Oh, it's so good. It's so fun to watch that stuff. And the crowd was eating it up. It was really good. And then at the end, so they went over, and at the end, they celebrated. They hugged and high-fived, and then Seth
put out the Shield LIJ, fist.
I mean the Shield fist.
Ambrose walked away.
But he didn't stare at it and walk away. He tried to act a little bit like he didn't notice it. You know what I mean? Like it was obvious that he saw it.
Yeah.
But he was trying to make it feel like, I'm not ready for this right now,
yeah.
But I don't want to offend you because it's a good moment that we're having right now.
Yeah,
I liked it. I thought it was the most interesting Dean Ambrose moment we've seen in probably 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really, really liked that moment. So
what are we thinking for the Intercontinental title? Triple threat? Are we thinking a number one contender match between Dean and Rollins?
I so want to say that we're still going to get a heel Ambrose. I really want to say that. I don't. I think that he's going to. I think it's going to be the kind of thing where, I'll put it this way. I think it would be incredibly true to what they want his character to be or what his character should be for him to turn heel based on his emotional trauma that Seth Rollins inflicted upon him. So this week he kind of acts like it doesn't exist. But when forced to confront it, he acts out in a heelish manner.
Yeah.
I think that should be the motivation for his heel turn because it's a lot more complex than, you know, just, oh, you wronged me, I'm going to wrong you. It's, I'm not ready for this, and I'm going to act out in a violent way, which is a little different.
Yeah. And what if part of that is there's a match. They have a match, number one contendership, Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
Seth wins.
Yeah.
Wins the title. The title that was Dean's for so long,
and
Dean feels that's yet another betrayal.
Yeah,
like that's my title.
Yeah,
it should be around my waist.
Yeah,
now
totally.
You have it.
Yeah, that could be.
Could be something like that.
That could be good. And then Miz could just sort of. Miz is really good when he's in the middle.
Oh, he's good at egging people on.
Yeah, and he's really good at egging people on. And when he's in the middle of two bigger personalities or two things that are happening that he's not a part of, he's really good at sort of just laying it all out there for everybody.
Yes.
You know?
But letting the two principals really be the ones that go at it.
Yeah, I think that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of fun. Anyways, we have a question thread up from our patrons.
Yes. First, Michael Berry. What two Raw wrestlers do you think could put on the best possible Punjabi prison match?
One of them I'm going to say Cesaro.
Seth Rollins.
Cesaro and Seth Rollins. There you go.
Nathan Raglan. Let's say Finn's demon decides to take another vessel. Who would you like to have Finn's demon persona?
Wouldn't that throw a wrench into the Angle Jason Jordan thing if Jason Jordan started coming out as the demon? Angle's like, what the freak is going on here? Jason Jordan, that's my answer.
Can't really beat that.
Yeah, or Chad Gable. He's like, well, I'm a singles guy now, so I'm going to be the D. Hey, that'd be good, man. They would always do like silly things together, like back in NXT. That'd be good.
Marcius Mark. Hey, friendos. Who do you think sent those text messages threats to Kurt and Corey? I thought they kind of explained that.
Who do you think sent those text messages to Kurt and Corey?
I thought Corey said there was...
Was it Big Cass? Who was it?
I thought they explained that. Maybe not.
I don't think it did.
That's weird.
I think it was just, I thought it was just like sources.
But I thought during the reveal, of Kurt's secret when he announced that Jason Jordan was his son, that at least partially, I thought Kurt said that it was, maybe not. I thought he said something like Jason Jordan was texting both of them, not like a threatening manner, but was like just communicating with both Corey Graves or a mutual friend or something.
Right.
When he explained it at the reveal, and I could be completely misremembering this, it wasn't as if it, because the way they framed the whole thing at the beginning,
he's being blackmailed.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when he finally made the announcement, it wasn't anything like that at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a situation where at first they were going to go one route and then at the end decided not to do that. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. But yeah, I guess if the idea was that Kurt was getting threatening text messages, yeah, that was never explained. I could be completely misremembering, and if anybody in Patreon chat here remembers exactly how it went, please.
Yeah, I'm seeing if anybody's actually paying attention to the show, because I'd have figured by now somebody would have said something.
Well, they're a few seconds behind.
They're all talking amongst themselves. I think that's just fine.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Alex Foster, the fat bastard champ, Alex Foster. If WWE were to make Del Taco commercials, who should star in them? Because, of course, Bayley was in that Sonic commercial.
Yeah.
I love those Sonic integrations when it's just like them in the locker room.
Oh, I know.
But it's like in a slightly better camera they're using.
Or maybe the same camera, just different shutter angle.
yeah, exactly. Do you see the latest Sonic commercials with, who's that, Zach, who's the big dunker now in the NBA?
Oh, Zach LaVine?
LaVine, is
yeah.
that it?
Yeah.
You see a Sonic commercial with him?
No.
It was pretty funny. They said, let's get the two Sonic guys, yeah. and they're sort of like a sports commentary desk thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, we're here with the NBA's best dunker, Zach LaVine. Let's take a look at some of his best dunks. And it's just like video footage of different sandwiches that they offer.
Okay. Got X-ray vision.
Uh-oh, what?
Says regarding the texting thing. Says he took it as Jason Jordan texting them both and confiding in Corey. That's how I took it, too.
All right. Very good. Let's see here. Oh, sounds good. Broken Jacob Omega says, returning patron here. Thanks, Jacob. He says, glad to be back. He says, name four of your favorite shows on WWE Network and name one that you guys would want to be a part of or host. Would you not want to take over Pete's job on Bring It to the Table?
You mean both of us or just me?
No, both of us. Dude, look.
So it'd be Corey.
Just you.
Well, I mean,
where you go, I go, and where I go, you go.
Let me clarify. So it'd be Corey, you and I, and JBL.
Yes.
Okay.
It'd be great.
All right.
Five. No good?
No, it's fine. I said it's fine.
What hard-hitting questions would you ask? JBL, why are you so punch-happy?
Yeah. Do you feel bad about what you did to the Blue Meanie?
We would only talk about the Blue Meanie incident.
I know. Five favorite network shows?
Yeah.
NXT, 24, probably Legends. You really like that show. Table for Three.
I love Legends. Minor, yeah. Well, let's take the wrestling, actual wrestling shows off.
Okay.
Because NXT, that's just wrestling.
Okay.
For me, it's Table for Three, yeah, Legends, and...
Breaking Ground was really good. I hope they do more of that.
Oh, Breaking Ground was great. Man.
24 is really good. The little documentaries they do are always really
good. No, I like 24 too. I like
this. I haven't watched the Angle one yet, but I want to.
Let's see here. Okay, interesting question. Eddie Jose Guevara Minivar. How much do you guys enjoy the WWE product as of now compared to 5 years ago? So 5 years ago was 2012. I think we were doing Tree of Woe back then.
Yeah.
So back then in 2012, let's do this really quick. Let's take a trip back. WWE SummerSlam 2012. Let's see what was on the horizon at this time 5 years ago.
Okay.
The matches there
here,
were
I'm gonna pull it up too.
Okay. Cesaro was taking on Santino Marella for the United States Championship in the pre-show. So okay. Chris Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler, who had Vicky Guerrero in his corner. Daniel Bryan defeated Kane. So the Daniel Bryan thing was happening.
Yeah.
The Miz defeated Rey Mysterio for the Intercontinental Championship. Sheamus defeated Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston defeated the Primetime Players for the Tag Team Championships. We like the primetime players.
Oh, yeah.
CM Punk defeated Big Show and John Cena for the WWE Championship. So that was my personal favorite WWE Championship run of the modern era.
Yeah.
Was CM Punk's.
Yeah.
I loved every split second of that.
Main event was Lesnar versus Triple H.
Yeah.
I remember watching this show.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. I
remember the main event.
If I turn it on right now, it'd probably come all flooding back to me. I think I prefer the product now as a whole. I think the wrestling is better.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys like Kevin Owens. You got guys like AJ Styles, Sami Zayn. You got a freaking hour of amazing television called NXT. You've got an hour of fantastic wrestling called 205 Live. You got the brand split, so everybody gets a bit more time to breathe.
Yep.
Hard to argue that I actually like today's product a lot better. However, man, I really love me some CM Punk. I really did.
Ty Dingleberry.
Fantasy, great name.
Fantasy book Kurt Hawkins fulfilling his gimmick potential and telling Kurt Angle to face the facts that Jason Jordan is not his son.
Well, you would need Kurt Hawkins to have, which I think would actually might be mildly amusing. Here's the thing.
Kurt Hawkins is actually pretty decent on the mic.
Kurt Hawkins is actually very good on the mic.
He's very comfortable.
He's very comfortable.
Very confident.
Yeah. Give him, and I know we should hate these, give him his own Miz TV-esque segment. I could see him as a noodler, you know? Because, yeah. I mean, Miz does that really well right now. But Miz is also just, you know, he's just a really top talent guy. If you have Kurt Hawkins doing a sort of Maury Povich style sit down, drama, you know, salaciousness.
Yes.
It could be really stupid. Might be mildly entertaining.
Yeah, it could be really funny.
So I would say that. Let's see here.
Tommy T. So, hey, friendo. So recently I made my indie wrestling debut.
Oh, man.
And I met Shane Douglas and Abyss.
Whoa.
When cool. I was talking to Shane Douglas, he said one of the main problems with WWE product right now is that they don't have legitimate veterans to work with guys new to WWE to get the fans to see them as legitimate. He also said they focus too much on 3-week storylines instead of actual depth and stories. So his question is, do you guys agree with his assessment on the product?
The second part of that assessment, definitely. I definitely consider, it's obvious that they don't have solid plans. Hey, let's book out 6 months in advance and see everything through to the end. There is, I believe, too much last minute shifting around of things.
And we see on 205 Live, what they do really well is take their time with stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it seems like there's a vision. They see the vision through to the end.
There have been multiple 4-month storylines on 205 Live.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If something isn't working 2 months in, like we've seen with Austin Aries, we both agree they wanted that title on Austin Aries, but they saw what was working, and that was Neville. Mm-hmm. And he was working great. Man, I freaking Neville. His promo last night after being gone for 2 weeks, holy crap, he's good.
Yeah, he is good.
He's so good. When you see something that's working on 205 Live, they ran with it. They just didn't drop the title Austin Aries because it didn't make any sense. Neville's too good.
Yeah.
So in that respect, we've seen how it can work really, really well.
Yes.
So with that respect, I don't know really enough to, I mean, in terms of the, they don't have enough legitimate veterans to work with guys new to the WWE to get the fans to see them as legitimate. I don't have an assessment on that. I don't know.
I mean, there are veterans like Big Show.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The talents they could use to help get younger guys over, but a lot of them are so established that they can't be taking losses to up and comers.
Well, here, I mean, that's the thing. I don't understand.
Or like Seth Rollins on Raw is super protected.
He's
a veteran. Yeah. He's not, you know, he has been on WWE television for 10 years, but he's been around for 5.
Well, does he mean, is his.
Does he mean talents like Big Show, like Dolph?
Or does he mean guys who are in the back? Well, I guess legitimate to fans. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is his point they need to be jobbing out Brock Lesnar to Roman Reigns, you know, is that, do they need more of that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Big Show and Cass is a good example, but that's like kind of singular right now. It's not really happening a lot of places. No. So I don't necessarily know if, I mean, do you want to see guys like the Big Show coming in and jobbing to be, I mean, in the case of Cass, I guess it might kind of work, But it's so telegraphed.
Well, I think with Big Show, it's just happened so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That now the problem is anytime he takes on a younger talent, you assume he's going to take the loss.
Yeah, that's the thing is that if you bring in, and who else really can return that's a veteran, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who else can do that?
Yeah, I know.
There's not a lot of returns left. Like, they brought Kurt Angle in. Let's say they, you know, groom him. They brought Sting in. They jobbed him out to Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then they did job him out to Seth Rollins. But, you know, that was just a sad match.
Yeah. It was a good match until he hurt his neck.
I know. And then it got really sad.
Yeah, I know.
Because it was like, oh, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I just don't know who else can come in as a veteran and, like, you know. Or they bring Alberto Del Rio back? I mean, if they bring in Rey Mysterio, I think you're going to start jobbing him out?
No.
You know?
You know who I think fills that role really well? Mm. I mean, he's on the main roster, though, is Cassius Ohno.
Oh, good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he wins when it makes sense, and if he needs to put a guy over, he will.
Yeah, totally.
Let's see here.
Nightcrawler has one that's been upvoted 6 times. Let's see what he says. My question is, what superstars from the past would have been fired if the WWE then was run like the WWE now? He says, some I thought of for sure, Shawn Michaels and Ultimate Warrior. So these days, wrestlers individually, sort of the newcomers or from the past 5 years, let's say, NXT and on, Rollins and on, have less power, less stroke. That's probably by design,
mm-hmm,
I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Ryback claims that Triple H said, we don't want another Cena, we both speculated that he meant we don't want somebody with that much stroke
to
say how things are going
to go. Yeah, he interpreted it as they don't want anybody else to have that kind of mainstream crossover appeal.
Yeah.
Which is the further thing for the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we see how Cena is with popping ratings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I guess the question is, for one thing, could the Click have run roughshod over today's product? Let's say Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they're the new Click. Maybe mm-hmm. another two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Could they run roughshod over today's WWE? Here's my thing. Okay, so from the Click's point of view, they always just say that, hey, we were guys. I kind of think that the Click just turned into everything because they were just guys who were really, really into the business.
They were really ambitious, but then they always say in interviews, like, they would hear stuff. People would say stuff backstage, and they would just start doing it because people were saying they already did it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just because it was funny to them.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Right.
So it might be a situation where things kind of snowballed simply because there was a perception of them backstage. People would talk about the perception, and then they just decided to become that perception.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody these days that they bring in from the indie ranks, anyways. I think it's just a different business nowadays.
Yes, it really
I don't
is.
Know.
But I guess it also depends on why, you know, like Shawn Michaels in his first run had a, you know, reportedly a terrible attitude.
Well, yeah,
he was really difficult to work with.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot of, like, when you hear people have bad attitudes, like, generally they're just not pushed.
Yeah.
So I do think that there is, I don't know, it wouldn't surprise me, like, you know, the generation now, they just seem more, I don't know, I want to say smarter about how they go about things, about their business.
Seems that way.
Like, more professional.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. I think they're groomed that way, though.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
whether it's through their own work on the independent ranks or going through NXT.
Well, look at what happened in NXT. Hugh Morris was there hazing people. They got rid of him. Billy Gunn was because, I think, steroids, right?
Yeah. He was taking performance enhancers.
But they replaced Hugh Morris with Matt Bloom,
mm-hmm.
with Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts and everything we've seen in the Breaking Ground, it's a very professionally run thing. They have William Regal there, you know? Like, it's a very professionally run thing. Like, people are supposed to, they're taught to take care of your business,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think, I don't know if that kind of culture would exist now. Who would have been fired from back then? I don't know, probably the Click.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like Shawn, I could totally see Shawn Michaels. Yeah, Ultimate Warrior, he wouldn't get by today.
He was fired back then. So
he
most
was.
Certainly he would be fired
he was,
today.
Absolutely.
Hamza Halal, do you guys think WWE should have a yearly cruiserweight classic like New Japan has Best of the Super Juniors? And if so, what should the winner get? A title shot or just a trophy? I think it'd be cool if they had an annual tournament.
I think it'd be rad if they had an annual Cruiserweight Classic tournament. But they seem to want to do tournaments for different genres, I guess. They want to
do these tournaments to kick off new programs.
Yeah, right, right, right.
That seems to be the idea.
Yeah, and they did that with the Cruiserweight Classic.
But they haven't really done it with anything else.
They seem to want to do it with the UK tournament. We have no idea what's going on.
No, I think it'd be great to have an annual tournament, and either it'd be interesting if it were a mix of people already on the roster plus people they brought in.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd
be great. Do a full 32-person field, have the champion in it.
Yeah.
And if you win, you get a title shot. Why not?
They should do like a rookie tournament, like people who have only been in pro wrestling for like 3 years or less, and they call it the Field of Green.
Sort of like Ring of Honor's Top Prospects tournament. Huh?
Oh, man. It's got to be better than that, dude. There's some dudes like, hey, here's Steve here from Sacramento, California. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Oh, man. Goodness gracious. Yes, Brock without the K. Lesnar says, are you disappointed that Jason Jordan isn't using the ankle lock or angle slam?
Yes.
That's going to happen.
Yes.
I guarantee you that's going to happen.
Yes, definitely should.
The TGX says, would you rather have a shit build to a great pay-per-view or a great build to a shit pay-per-view? I'd always take the great pay-per-view.
Yep.
I'll always take that.
Yep. Always. There's been a lot of times where the build to a pay-per-view hasn't been good.
Mm-hmm.
But since the show's good, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's a good
question.
Still
pays off.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Says, I've always believed that Taz would have been a multiple-time WWE champion had he been 6'1 instead of just 5'9. Who are some former WWE wrestlers that would have gotten a bigger push had they been 4 inches taller? I think I've heard from like several places that Xavier Woods would totally be a multiple time WWE champion at this point, if he's like, you know, 6'3 or 6'2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the only one that comes up. I mean, Daniel Bryan
probably been taken more seriously in the eyes of WWE executives if he were a couple inches taller. Yeah.
How tall is Sami Zayn?
I don't know.
I want to say
5'11", 6 foot. Maybe?
Yeah, I would say 6 feet.
I will find out. 6'1".
Okay, that sounds about right.
You want to do more questions? Oh,
what?
Power rankings. You haven't done any power rankings.
Oh, we got to do a power rankings.
Question is James freaking Wade. Power rankings. What's next for Braun after Roman and after Lesnar leaves? He says his number one would be Joe. That's assuming they don't turn it into a Dean and Miz situation. So power rankings. What's next for Braun after SummerSlam? Essentially.
Number one, Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Samoa Joe. We haven't seen that. I really want to see that.
Assuming Reigns wins the title at SummerSlam, that'll leave Braun and Joe feud for a couple months at least.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
I would say Joe, Ambrose, assuming he doesn't turn heel.
Mm-hmm. Bray Wyatt.
I would. That's like a number five for me in terms of if I think it's going to happen, but it's like number two if I wanted to have happen.
Yes.
I could see them going with Rollins. I could maybe see him going with Finn. They're all the top guys.
Bray Wyatt, number two.
There you go. Bray Wyatt. Anyways, let's
do what they should do.
It's time, Larson. It's time.
Who won the vote? I saw who it was.
Oh, Jason Jordan won. At first, very handy. Like the first four votes, the first like four votes and the first like, I don't know, first like six out of eight were all for Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
So I assume he won.
Okay.
Anyways. Kayfabe Corner's greatest trivia challenge there is at the $10 Patreon mark. You can vote. We put up two names every week. This week I put up Jason Jordan and Kurt Angle. And then we use that wrestler to come up with 12 names, some real, some fake, and then two trivia questions. This week's list is based off of Jason Jordan. Some of these are real names. Some of these are fake names. And Larson's going to try to figure out which is which.
I don't feel very good
last
with my
odds.
Last week,
I took a big dump.
You got five last week?
Ooh, it was bad. Oh!
But I completely lost track of who's ahead, but...
It's all in good fun these days.
Yeah.
We have a hard time coming up with, like, punishments for wins and losses for things. So it's like, hey, you know what? If just if I go through a lot of weeks where I feel like I did bad, it's like, oh, I'm probably losing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Number one.
One.
Checkers.
Real.
Fake. Abraham Saddam.
Fake.
Real. A.W.
Real.
Very good. Floyd Briscoe.
Fake.
Very good. Raj Ali.
Fake.
Very good. Sean Spears.
Real.
Very good. M. Hardwood.
Fake.
Very good. What do you mean fake? That's a great name.
It is.
Should
good.
Be real.
It's an obvious fake name, though.
The girl from Columbia.
Real.
Fake. It's actually the girl from Mexico. And guess who the girl from Mexico was? Trent. It's not the greatest thing ever.
Trent's up there with Edge as far as doing neat things.
Oh my God, I love Trent. Devil Hills.
Fake.
Very good. It's actually a town in North Carolina. Jason O'Mara.
Real.
Fake, but he's a real actor.
Yeah, that's where I heard the name before.
Yeah. Wesley Holiday.
Real.
Very good.
Seven.
Oh, wow, good. Jenny O'Beal.
Fake.
Real.
Oh.
I feel like that was fake. Do I even write down these, like, I don't even, you know, I'm not even sure if I put down they're fake or real correctly or not. I'm not sure.
All right.
So basically, this is just you guessing what I have.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Seven.
All right, let's see if we can get these trivia questions. Yeah, that last one was fake.
Okay, so I got eight.
Okay, yeah, okay. Jason Jordan debuted in a six-man tag match against The Ascension, which I guess was a handicap match. Name one of the two men he teamed with.
Well, I know he was partners with Ty Dillinger at one point, so I'll say Ty Dillinger.
Big Cass and Tyler Breeze.
Oh.
Yeah. Second. Who did he win the FCW Tag Championships with?
Ty Dillinger.
No. CJ Parker, a.k.a. Juice Robinson.
Damn. Well, you know? Eight's still a good score.
Eight's still a damn good score, considering I got five last week. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, that's the show. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Somebody in chat just said, newsflash, Emma just posted an Instagram post that is just straight up her booty. Is there a booty hole there? Because that'll ruin it. Is it post-poop? Pre-wipe.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry. Anyways. Yeah. See, I like to take sexy and make it gross, Larson. That's what I like to do. Anyways, that's it for now. Patrons, be sure to stay tuned. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.